Non-rock a boatus must stop. I don't want to rock the boat. I want to sink it.
Are you going to bark all day, little doggy, or are you going to bite?
Delusional
is okay in your worldview. I'm an animal. You don't chastise chickens for being delusional. You don't chastise pigs for being delusional. So you calling me delusional using your worldview is perfectly okay. It doesn't really hurt.
She hung up on me.
Yes!
Oh!
What?
Desperate times call for faithful men and not for careful men. The careful men come later and write the biographies of the faithful men, lauding them for their courage.
Go into all the world and make disciples. Not go into the world and make buddies. Not to make brosives.
Right.
Don't go into the world and make homies.
Right.
Disciples.
I got a bit of a jiggle neck. That's a joke, Pastor.
No, when we have the real message of truth, we cannot let somebody say they're speaking truth when they're not.
Take an amazing journey to a place that will blow your mind and move your heart so you will never be the same again.
Welcome, 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 welcome. Everybody from all walks of life, don't just listen, don't just listen, don't just listen. Whether you black or white or whatever, but listen, don't be a hearer of the word only, be a doer. Regardless who you claim to be, we all brothers and sisters.
This is applicable.
Yeah. Christ.
Yeah. Yeah.
The body.
Infantry.
We need help. The world's so crazy. Gotta put in work, keep relaxy days, and it's amazing.
Welcome to Apologia Radio. We got a little special extra long intro today, which you'll know about in a second why. This is Luke the Bear in the studio. Jeff, the quote-unquote ninja, is still on his sabbatical, so that's why I could say that. But in the studio, I got what's Zach Alack, and I'm a left.
It's good, everybody.
Got Joy the Girl.
Hello.
And for the first time ever, there are new something producer. I don't know what his official term is. Title.
Carmi Cakes.
Carmi Cakes. Carmen Chameleon. El Carmino.
Carmen San Diego.
Carmen San Diego. On the ones and twos. What's up, Carmen? Hi, okay, cool.
He's probably muted. He's probably muted
so
and not
Carmen,
going to
when you
answer.
Get your suits, do you wear... Carmen, when you get your suits, do you wear Carmani?
Oh, my goodness. That's good. Okay. hopefully, Carmen's watching our time
He's
on this.
He's just like, I can't. I'm just pretending I can't hear any of this.
Yeah.
So, is he like a part of the show now?
He should be, but I guess he wouldn't say much. It would just be, hey Carmen. Hey, guys.
So anyway, special guest.
Anyway, special guest. On the phone, I got my homie, Mr. Ivy Connerly.
Yeah. Hey.
What's up?
What's up to the people?
What's happening?
What's up, you guys? What's up, family?
So tell us why I got you on the show today.
Well, I just so happened to release my latest album entitled Don't Just Listen. That was inspired by the first chapter of James, the book of James. And I guess we're here to discuss such things.
Yeah. Which we're just listening to right now.
Yeah.
And if you haven't gotten the album yet,
you should.
Make sure you pick it up.
You should.
Because it's really good.
It is really good. I like it.
I will say this. Pick the album up, you know. I'm just getting tired of going to the recycle place and digging through trash and collecting bottles and cans. I'm just kidding, guys.
But I know you, and there's probably some truth to that.
I'm kind of serious.
Ivy's the king of hustlers, man. But hey, seriously, pick it up so he ain't got to go to Muscle Beach and try to sell some copies.
Yeah.
It's real talk.
Real talk. Yes,
real
sir.
Talk. So tell
Good
us about your album,
you,
dude. I know you don't have a lot of time with us, so tell us about your album while we got you.
Yeah, well, of course, we see the world that we live in right now, And I believe everybody on the phone shares the same eschatology and whatnot. We're all post-mill, I believe.
Yes.
And so this album was an album that was really supposed to just show, of course, a biblical worldview and give some insights that many albums don't provide by just, you know, giving the people an optimistic view of the world, that this is where we live at right now, but things are getting better. Christ, he rules, he reigns, and all the subject matter dealing with this album is really encouraging people with that. Through it all, through the crime, death, illnesses, our victories, whatever we go through as believers and even non-believers, it's just, we're supposed to be optimistic. The unbeliever is supposed to be optimistic because there are believers here that can actually provide the gospel to them. And by God's grace, if the Spirit moves upon their heart, they can be quickened. So it's one of those type of albums that's dealing with a little bit of everything, so to speak. I hope you guys are following me here.
Mm-hmm.
So it's dealing with a bunch of issues. 2018, of course, it's current, but I believe it's also going to speak in the years to come. And by God's grace, we'll see a decrease in some of the things that are very problematic in the world today. So, yeah, and really one thing I want to say that I believe is important is that the reason why the title is Don't Just Listen, of course, is based on James. Don't just be hearers of the word, only but be doers. But application is necessary. There is a lot of great albums out there, but I don't think today, especially in CHH, which I love, a lot of my brothers that are faithful, but there are a lot of people that's dropping the label and going to something else, that they're really stressing sanctification and application. You know, what are you doing? How are you progressing and whatnot? And depending on the Lord, I believe it's laid out on this album more than some of the previous work that that I had and back in the day and what have you with other albums. So I guess that kind of sums it up.
Right on. So this is your first album on Infantry, correct? They just dropped that label, what, last year?
No, actually, Infantry been around for like, I think maybe about 2 years.
Okay.
Two, or it could be 3 years. No.
It's,
I believe
it's pretty new
years,
though.
But before then, it was Salvation Army.
Right.
But
right.
But they dropped the Salvation Army and just went to Infantry. Still militant, you know.
Yeah.
Soldiers in Christ. The whole Timothy 2 and 3, I believe. Yes.
And that's Eshan, right? That's his. He started this label.
Yeah.
Right on.
Yeah, Eshan.
Yep, so
we've been grinding since like 2010. So we kind of always knew we were gonna link up somehow. So, and we finally got a chance to do that. So shout out to Infantry, you know, for holding the brother down, and all those brothers there that's been supportive and, you know, having my back to like push it, promote, and just getting a chance to know some of my label mates, even though we don't call it a label, you know, it kind of is. But yeah.
Right on.
Nice, bro.
So I'm just letting everybody know that this next track that's about to play happens to have my name in it and Joy's.
That's actually my favorite song on the whole album.
So at some point I'm going to stop Ivy and turn it up. So just so y'all know. Gia. So now this album's got a little bit of serrated edge to it, which I liked. What has been the feedback on this album overall, and have you gotten any flack for being a little serrated?
You know what? Surprisingly, there was only one person that had a problem with this album, and I had the actual pleasure to get in touch with him and share my heart, and he took down some posts that he posted, and I told him, no, you can leave it there if that's how you really felt. But he didn't get some things, so I had to kind of explain it to him. And there were other people commenting on this thread on Facebook saying, go back and listen to it again. So that's why I named it Don't Just Listen. Mm-hmm. But surprisingly, that there hasn't been many more. I only had one person, And this has been an album that has been received by many people in a way that was surprising to me. They are really gleaning from it. They're loving the content, and even though it's pretty edgy, but feedback's been great, man. You know, it's been better than all the other albums that I've dropped so far, and that's pretty shocking to me, because I thought I was going to ruffle some feathers, but I had to do what was on my heart, you know. Yeah. And since my conscience was clear, there you have the album. Don't just listen.
Right on. Well, hey, I'm gonna pull this up real quick.
Give me more to do. Give me more to say. I'ma speak the truth. He gon' make a way. Give me more to do. Give me more to say. I'ma speak the truth. He gon' make a way. How we still free when we can't crump Trump? Let's make America great again. We ain't been a dump. They dumping hundreds of years of slavery. I'm on my Jeff, socialism is theft. We crazy? I won't apologize. Why apologia? Not built by human hands. We the ecclesia. You don't know about the Alpha and Omega boys. I went with Luke Marcus by the joy and the love that we got for each other.
Joy, I bet you never thought you'd be in a rap song.
No, I didn't ever think that, but it's great.
That's actually pretty awesome.
Yeah. Ivy, I love the shout out.
I know.
Yeah, it was my pleasure. I just started thinking about the brotherhood, and I'm just like, man, and it just kind of came together. You know, when you write, your pen just kind of takes you on a journey, and just one word popped up, socialism, and immediately, you know, I thought of our brother Jeff, and just, you know what I'm saying, and how hard all y'all go and at Apologia. And so, and then from there, you know what I'm saying, I just had to mention the Bear, of course. And, you know, we got joy in Christ, but also my sister Joy Marcus, you know what I'm saying? And so that's why I said, hey, you know, this is what it is. We got many brothers, and we ain't undercover, you know what I'm saying? So shout out to all the brothers that's faithful on the front line and that's continuing to do the mission that's laid before you guys, you know what I'm saying? Like, that's huge. So, you know, scripture tells us, give honor to where it's due, you know what I'm saying, or to whom it's due. So, yeah, it was my pleasure.
I like how Marcus was like, waited for him to get his name dropped in your hip-hop song for Apologia, and then was like, peace out.
Him and Laura came to California to a wedding, and then we had breakfast at Denny's and whatnot, and he was like, man, I'm really liking this album. In the back of my mind, I'm like, is it because your name's on it?
Right.
Because he didn't like my last one.
Oh, it's solid, dude.
It's all good.
Dude, can I encourage you with something? I know, like the title, Don't Just Listen, like, I feel like in our culture, especially, music is just something that you consume. Right, it's just something that you take in and consume, but like your music and what you're trying to do is actually stir production within people's lives for righteousness. So it's not just something that you consume and take into your mind, but like James says, don't just listen to the word, right, and deceive yourselves, but be doers of the word too. So I love that, and I also love in that song that Luke was just playing, there's not only like a prophetic voice that you're kind of speaking into that culture, like you're talking about like socialism is theft and using, you know, verbiage like that. But then you're also, I love how you put in there about, you know, you basically just fly in the face of like an unbelieving worldview too. You say things like, well, if we're all protoplasm, what's the point, right? So there's like an apologetic edge in your music too. And I just think that's so powerful. Like, who else is doing that? Like, from the Christian worldview, in this genre. So that's just so encouraging to me, brother, and I just want to encourage you with that. It's awesome to me to hear it.
Thanks, man. I mean, that encourages me, because I tell you, some stuff kind of flies over people's heads, especially you know, it's hard sometimes. I mean, you know when you go out there and you preach and then you're really sometimes in the back of your mind, like, almost feeling like, dude, you know, was I Jeremiah today? You know? Yep. And is there anybody listening? And so, like just getting all the feedback has been great, and even just your words of encouragement, man, because I know you're passionate at what you do. Just hear that, man. You're listening. You're not just listening, but you're listening.
Yeah.
So definitely grateful. For that, because I thought about you guys when I wrote that line. They're killing babies before they could even cry.
Yes.
I guess they planned for parenthood to just die. That's their plan. But just the parenthood, of it all to just cease,
Yes.
And so, this is stuff that I know people don't want to hear. I physically had people, right now, I'm on a set full of a lot of atheists. And last night, I had some great conversations. It's funny how people can speak so eloquent, but then they'll get up and walk because they can't face the truth, they love to live in their darkness and in denial because they suppress it, And so, when it comes to the truth. And so, this album, I definitely wanted to not go so fast, but I wanted to just be like pretty much led and think critically on every song, of course, prayerfully, how things would be laid out. And it took almost about 2 years, a little over a year and a half or something like that, for it to finally get finalized. But praise God, it came out the way it did. And like I said, I can't say it enough. I'm just glad that people are receiving it. It's gonna do what it's gonna do, as we all know, as Bible readers. When the word goes out, it won't return back void. Amen.
Amen. Amen, brother. So true, man.
Can't say. Ouch. Say amen.
Can't say amen.
Yeah, you can't say amen. You ought to say ouch.
Yeah, I was gonna have
that's everything. Nugget. So PayPal me later. Don't worry. I won't. That's for free. I'll just give you that one for free.
Well, I was gonna say you were writing this album when you were helping me build the set over here for next week. But hey, you know what, dude? I just some more encouragement for you. You know what? I think I told this story. I don't know if I told it on the radio show or not, but last year, it was a year ago actually. I got the full Ivy Connerly Esco tour, which was scary at times.
Oh, you mean Escondido?
Yeah, Esco.
Okay.
No, Esco.
I wouldn't have known what that meant, but
for those
think about it for a second.
But I got to meet some homies that Ivy used to roll with back in the day, and they still, I mean, it was like 15 years I think since you've seen that one guy, and like, you still have like some clout in that community, and they respect you, and you drop this album like in that community, and they're not gonna just listen. You know what I mean? Like, it's gonna mean something to them just because of your name in that community. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
And so we'll definitely be praying for that for sure. But I know we're winding down here. We had discussed yesterday we might be doing something special with this album for our All Access subscribers.
Yes.
Can you elaborate on that, or we got to figure that out yet?
Yeah, I'm still kind of navigating through it. I want to be able to, talk to the brothers at Infantry, which I know they, I got their blessing. They know that I'm just, it's real easy dealing with those brothers because they're like, hey, whatever you want to do, like they, are really good with supporting whatever vision, but Apologia has shown me so much love, and so I definitely wanted to for the All Access members and people that sign up to be able to get at least the majority of the songs or the whole album as a download. All the subscribers and all the new subscribers, and be able to get Don't Just Listen, and hopefully they spread the word, and get it out there to people. Well, absolutely.
Right on, brother. Well, we love our All Access subscribers, and as always, we wouldn't be here doing what we're doing without you.
Amen.
And so, as a thank you, you will be getting some amount of this album for free. We're going to figure that out, but be watching for that. We'll be sending that to you a link or something through email, so we watch it for that. But anyways, if you're not All Access, please, even if you are, get this album anyways. So it's Ivy Connerly, Don't Just Listen. You can get it anywhere pretty much, right? Any music place has it.
Yeah, YouTube, Spotify, Google Play, right?
Yep. Tidal, all your favorite streaming sites, all your favorite download spots. Absolutely.
Right on.
And you know what? I almost just want to just go out and say it. Yeah, if you're All Access, you'll get the whole album for free. So
all right.
I'll figure out the kinks later on. So just, you know, you guys look out for that. Or, you know.
Right on.
Cool, man. Thank you, brother.
You guys will let the people know what's up.
That's right. All right, homie. Love you, man. Thanks for being on today. I know you got to get out of here.
Love you guys. Thank you all so much. Always a pleasure. And till next time.
Yes, sir.
See you, brother. God bless.
Bye.
All right, everybody. We'll come back on the other side, change subjects, and just wear a helmet because you might want to bang your head against the wall. I'm just going to say that now.
Word. Real talk.
Real talk. All right, guys.
Peace out, brother.
Peace.
This is the Chocolate Knox. If you love that wonderful sensation of chewing glass, this is the show for you.
Cross Politic is a weekly show and podcast that mixes the taboo formula of faith, culture, and politics, proclaiming the Lordship of Christ in every corner of our culture.
Hallelujah.
Gabriel Wrench is a deacon from Texas, and he wears overalls.
One time.
Chocolate Knox, a.k.a. David Shannon. He's a movie maker from Minnesota.
Action!
I'm Toby Sumter, pastor here in Moscow, Idaho, and I used to live in Alaska. Did you know that?
No.
No.
We've interviewed everyone from Alveda King to Ted Cruz to Steve Dace to Walter Williams, and we invite you to join us here at Cross Politic as we learn to fight, laugh, and feast, all to the glory of God. CrossPolitik.com.
For 21 years and counting, New St. Andrew's College has sought to obey Christ's great commission to disciple nations and build him a house. Not just in Jerusalem, but throughout the world. Not with stones and mortar, but with living stones. We build and fight. This is the task of a Christian liberal arts college, to equip students with the tools to build and fight. And this is our joyful task as we seek to graduate leaders who shape culture through wise and victorious living. To learn more, check us out online at nsa.edu/explore.
So my V, it's all love. Yeah. Now I don't know how all y'all are thinking, but if it ain't the truth, it's time for metanoia. Repentance. I got the army here with me.
Yeah.
Help serving the mind of the street and the mind of the industry. All mindsets that don't parallel with scripture. Come on. Yeah. Now I don't care what you all thought, but this right here is straight blood bought. And I know that shit that still is lost. You know we gotta give it to you. Truth. Most of us want the me way, but it's really up to what the king say. You already knew before you heard me. Knew it, know we gotta give it to you. Yeah, they hating to it, call it dated music. Y'all lose it, beat it.
Welcome back. Let's hear all about it.
Is that the one with Shylin?
Yeah.
Oh, that's a good one.
Featuring Shylin.
Bringing that metanoia.
Sir.
Don't mean to annoy ya.
Oh, girl.
You too.
Zach's on a roll today. You missed it, Joy, a minute ago. He was just left and right.
Spitting dad
jokes.
They just
kept coming.
Spitting them.
So, for this segment, I hope y'all are wearing a helmet, like I mentioned, because it's going to get crazy.
Why is it going to get crazy? What are we looking at?
We are going to be watching and talking through as much as we can the desk piece from The Break with Michelle Wolf and She Clothing.
Right. I was going to say Steen and Wolf.
Hey, that's pretty good.
Right?
That's good.
I like that. I was saving that one.
Yeah.
Yeah. So it's pretty vile, just a heads up, so you might not want your kids in the room for this one. It's Vile. She's just not funny at all.
Well, if you don't
Are
know,
any
if you don't
feminists
know,
funny?
I mean, she's...
Yeah.
Like, it's just cringe, really, the whole thing. And just gross and disgusting. And
if you don't know who she is,
yeah.
So she's a comedian.
This is, this is on Netflix, by the way.
She's a comedian, her... Trying
quote
to be,
unquote comedian.
Yeah, trying to be, and she made some remarks about abortion on her show, and it's something that it's hard to even talk about because you don't even want to give her the publicity, and the remarks are just so dumb, easily refutable arguments. But I think it's really helpful, and we have to address it. I think we have a duty to talk about what the culture's saying and what they're still holding up as their best arguments.
Right. I was telling Zach she's like the feminist version of Andrew Dice Clay, like. She's not even funny. I think she's just popular because she's vile and is gross. And anyways, so this is her desk piece.
You'll see what I mean.
Yeah. Yeah. So we will. We'll just work through it here. Just tell me if you want me to stop. It's going to be a lot. So.
Supreme Court Justice Anthony Kennedy recently announced he is retiring effective July 31st.
I mean, just her voice makes you it's like nails on a chalkboard. Sorry.
So is the content.
Yes.
Yeah.
As bad as her voice is, the content's worse.
And although it's great for his wrinkly head, it could be catastrophic for reproductive rights. Because it's almost certain that Trump will try to replace him with someone who would overturn Roe v. Wade. It's so ironic that Trump could be the guy that ends legal abortion. That dude has been responsible for more abortions than the invention of back alley.
Let me play the rest, the next two comments you make, and we'll talk about them.
Use coat hanger.
He has a big grin on her face.
And before that, stairs.
Okay, so go ahead.
Well, that is a very common thing that pro-choicers say, that if you eliminate the right to safe and legal abortion for women, it's just going to happen anyways. Except it's just going to happen in back alleys now. So you might as well give them the place to do that. And to that response, what we always say is, well, bank robbers still going to rob banks, yo. So why introduce legislation that prohibits or stops that or tells them that they shouldn't do that or rape or child molestation? I mean, pick your poison in terms of law violation, but we don't apply that same standard to any other crime committed, just the murder of unborn children. And then secondly, I think we should just put this objection to bed that somehow before Roe versus Wade, back alley abortions were the dominant place that this happened.
Right.
There's a wonderful resource that I'd encourage anyone to get it. Pro-Life Answers to Pro-Choice Arguments by Randy Alcorn. And if you listen to this, what he says, plenty of statistics to back this up. 15 years before abortion was legal in America, around 85% of illegal abortions were done by reputable physicians in good standing in their local medical associations. Mm. In 1960, Planned Parenthood stated that 90% of all illegal abortions are presently done by physicians. Who? Planned Parenthood stated that. So you don't even agree with Planned Parenthood and their own findings when you use this type of argumentation. The vast majority of abortions were not done in back alleys, but in back offices of licensed physicians. So this idea that somehow this was the dominant practice of women, did it happen? Yeah, sinners gonna sin. They're gonna find a way to do it with enough sin in their hearts. Mm-hmm. But the important thing is this practice as a violation of God's law shouldn't be what we're seeing today, celebrated out in the open, given parody and comedic tribute to. You know, there should be laws that protect the unborn child, and this idea that somehow before Roe all of these things happened with coat hangers and all of that is really easily refuted. And so I think we should just put it to bed once and for all, this objection.
Yeah, and just I mean, just watching that, her make light of the murder of children, you know, making jokes about women throwing themselves downstairs or using a coat hanger, or you know, just as if it's funny and people laughing and cheering. It's just like, oh.
Right. Laughing at a culture of death.
Romans 1. Yeah. Totally, you know, they've been given over. But it's just, it's just despicable and disgusting to me. There's nothing funny about it. But, Joy, were you going to say anything? You're going to have some.
Yeah. I'll just.
There's a point I specifically would like to hear from you.
I can't wait for Joy to tee off at one point. So we'll just keep going.
Just letting you in on the writing process. Look, access to abortion is good and important. Some people say abortion is killing a baby. It's not. It's stopping a baby from happening.
Okay, so she says killing a baby in quotations. Like, you can't see it, obviously, but...
Right.
Just like... But it's stopping a baby.
Right. It's
stopping
it's not...
a life. Which she'll actually says that later, where she actually attributes life to an unborn child.
Yeah. So she is internally inconsistent.
I didn't murder him, officer. I just was stopping him.
Right. Yeah. It's a good
That's
point.
That's it.
That's a good point. Yeah.
I was just stopping him.
Yeah.
From happening.
It's like Back to the Future and abortion is the DeLorean. And everyone loves DeLoreans. Their doors open like this.
I just hate that she compared Back to the Future to abortion.
I know. And what's even more vulgar is if you watch the video, which I wouldn't recommend, but if you do, when she says that remark about the doors, she does this motion with her arms like flapping, and that's supposed to symbolize a woman's legs opening for the abortion.
Right.
So.
And I know some people call themselves pro-life. But pro-life is a propaganda term that isn't real, like healthy ice cream and handsome testicles.
That's an Andrew Dice Clay.
Get the terminology straight. First of all, these people are anti-abortion, which means they're anti-woman.
Okay.
Well, actually, Michelle, you are the one that is guilty of using and redefining language to push your propaganda when you say things like pro-choice. When you say things like reproductive rights or reproductive justice, because what's actually going on factually, truthfully, in an abortion clinic or where this happens is a child is being murdered within the womb of its mother. So it's actually you that's guilty of this very thing that you're decrying within those who had called themselves pro-life. You are the one that is redefining terminology, and you are the ones that are emptying words of their true meaning and the truth behind them. Mm-hmm. So no, to be pro-life is not to be anti-woman, because we care just as much about the women as we do their children when we go out and we minister at these places of death. So just this idea of you are the ones that are really lying about what these terms mean. Actually, you're the one that's engaging in propaganda in this.
Right. Plus, we've talked about this before. Obviously, they're only pro-adult women.
That's right.
Right.
Yep.
And not pro-little women in the womb. You know, I don't know what the percentages are. Maybe you know off the top of your head. But, you know, majority of the babies being aborted are female anyway. So, especially in other countries.
Yeah.
You know. So, that's just a fallacy altogether. Were you going to say something, Jordan?
I was just going to say, you can call me anti-abortion if you want.
Okay.
That's fine.
No, I'll take that title gladly. Yeah, because I am.
Okay, so she's going to list what she says pro-life really means here.
Right. And it's her opinion, just like the whole anti-woman thing.
Yeah.
Is she going to, like, cite any studies or anything like that?
Oh, of course not.
Let's see.
Just wait, Joy.
Let's see what she does.
If these people were actually pro-life, they would be fighting hard for healthcare, childcare, education, gun control, and protecting the environment.
There it is.
Okay.
Let's just throw the environment in there for good
measure. It's complete. Like, has she talked to every pro-life person?
Right.
Has she talked to any pro-life person?
Right.
It's just, like, to make the leap from anti-abortion to anti-woman is just purely based on her opinion. And what people should be fighting for is purely based on your opinion. There's plenty of people who are anti-abortion or pro-life, whatever you want to call it, that fight for many things they believe in. So that's just purely, it's not even an argument. There's no critical thought put into it. It's just propaganda, really, in all honesty.
Plus, we would absolutely be for healthcare. You know, and this is just,
Abortion is not healthcare,
right? And
by the way,
you know, this is the whole argument that Planned Parenthood shouldn't be shut down because they do healthcare, which is just a load of manure. But, you know, like, so there's that childcare. Yeah, we're for childcare. We're for mom staying home and taking care of their children. Education. Yeah, we're for education. We want our moms to stay home and homeschool their children. gun control. I mean, that's just stupid.
I mean, we're for less gun control.
Right. Yeah. Right. We're going to talk more about that too.
We have opinions on it.
And then an environment. I mean, I feel like they just throw like environmental stuff and just right. lob it on. Just like it doesn't even mean anything.
Well, it's just
nebulous.
This is just what you see from this group of people. It's like, if you're not against the things that I'm against, if you don't like what I like, you're a bad person.
Mm. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. That's it. Mm-hmm. That's the whole picture that they want to paint. It's not anti-abortion. It's not pro-life, and it's not even anti-abortion. It's anti-woman. Mm-hmm. It's like, well, where does that come from? That's just you.
Yeah.
Like, you don't like what I'm thinking, so you're just going to lie about what I'm thinking.
Right. Yeah. And did you notice that those things that she listed, so healthcare, childcare, education, from her perspective, she believes that the government should be in charge of all those areas.
Yep.
And those things should be obligations that the government has to provide, which means what? They have to take the resources to do that from the people in order to provide those services. So they have to engage in theft in order to provide mandatory healthcare, childcare, and education to children, which, by the way, education being another arm of the abortion movement to get their agenda into the minds of our youth and educate them about having sex outside of marriage, encouraging fornication, encouraging abortifacient birth control. So all these things are connected within the worldview that's being propagandized in this clip, including that glim remark about the environment.
Yeah.
Right? It's all part of a worldview. And this worldview, the environment is divine.
Yeah.
And our job is to preserve that at all costs, even if it means getting rid of our children.
Yeah. She could have very easily just summarize that by saying that pro-life equals anti-tyranny.
I'm good with that.
That would
yeah.
I'll go with that.
It's fine.
She wants tyranny, apparently.
But these anti-abortion people do not care about life. They just care about birth. Like, they think that's the only place you can watch a woman shit on a table.
Aside from the last remark, I mean, just to say that we're not for life, we're only for birth, that's just ignorant, and I don't even think it even needs any commentary. It's just a stupid statement.
Yeah, well, it ties into the point that she's going to make
right
in a second.
About 1 in 4 women by the age of 45 have had an abortion. And it's weird that I learned that on a Snapple cap. But it is true, which means abortions are super common and the stigma is bullshit.
So, 1 in 4, right? That's the statistic, and that's what abortion advocates use to justify this. Well, there's a demand for it. See, it is the case, therefore it ought to be, right? You take an is, and then you make it an ought.
Right.
We ought to have abortion because this is the case that women do it.
Right.
So it's fallacious on its face. Is you can't get an ought from an is.
Right.
Is the point
right.
that we're making. And the fact that 1 in 4 women do it, it should just throttle us to action to get on our feet and go minister to them. But one thing it should not do is remove the stigma and the shame that comes from abortion, because women are, you know, women are ashamed after they do this.
Well, yeah,
they
won't
feel it.
There isn't no amount of social programs and propaganda. There's no amount of YouTube videos. There's no amount of blogs that will there isn't an amount that will remove the shame of committing murder.
Mm-hmm.
So good luck.
And that goes for pro-lifers too.
Right.
That don't want
right.
to use the gospel to
right.
help these women. There's
right.
there's nothing you can do to remove their shame. What are you going to do? You going to coach them to live like believers that are when they're unregenerate?
Right.
That's not going to take away their shame. That's
right.
why they need Jesus and the gospel.
Well, and how could you even, how can you even be sure that it's wrong if you're not willing to go to the scripture?
Right.
Yeah. And you brought up a good point, Zach. I mean, this is exactly why, no pun intended, this is exactly why the gospel is the answer.
That's right.
Right. Because you can throw all the scientific facts you want at her that destroy her argument all day long, but it doesn't matter because she just wants
doesn't matter.
She just wants the right to murder her child.
Right. Doesn't matter.
slogans for the women's movement was abortion on demand. And that's exactly what it should be. As easy and safe as pushing the on-demand button in the middle of your remote to order Paddington 2.
Hold on.
Actually, abortion might be safer because that little guy will steal your heart.
Which women's movement is she referring to?
It's because, an old picture, so I'm not sure.
Because the early feminists were against abortion.
Mm-hmm.
In this country, the people that voted for women's suffrage rights, I could pull up endless quotes of those ladies that are lauded by feminists.
Mm.
So, I mean, I guess maybe she's referring to a specific women's movement, but if that's what she's talking about, that's just not even true.
Yeah. It looks like maybe the picture's from like 60s or 70s, but whatever.
Then she's talking about second wave feminism.
Probably, yeah.
The beginning of the sexual revolution, where everyone just threw their dignity out the window and started sleeping with everyone, which is the reason we're here today.
Right.
So this part right here just makes me so angry because...
Yeah, this is the part I wanted you to speak to.
They're like,
they're,
you know, she basically is minimizing the life of an unborn child, you know, like it's nothing. We can just throw away these children like dross, right? Like just, it's nothing. But that Paddington 2, he's really cute and will steal your heart. Not the baby inside you.
Yeah.
Right.
But that Paddington 2, watch out for him. This next part's really...
These days, abortion providers have been terrorized by the right into downplaying their abortion services. You should be proud of it. You're doing a good thing. It's like if Hogwarts advertised its PE program. Don't do that. Tell everyone about the magic.
Okay, I'm just going to skip this part.
Yeah, go to the next part.
It's pretty vile where she's talking about.
That's the part we need to touch on.
Yeah. Okay. Let's try there.
I'm sorry. I'm sure this brings up a lot of feelings and thoughts and points that you want to make. And I just want you to know that's all very irrelevant. Abortions are a woman's right. And I know acknowledging that is hard for some of you because that would mean you'd also have to acknowledge that women are naturally equipped to do the most powerful thing in the world. Give life.
Mm.
While you guys are naturally equipped to do what? Lift suitcases into the overhead compartment.
Okay, we'll just end on that point because this segment's wrapping up. But this is where I was saying she admits to it. It's life. Women can give life.
Mm-hmm.
But us guys are just incapable of doing anything important, apparently. But you can also take it. She won't admit that.
Yeah.
She won't admit that she can take life.
Yeah, so are you saying that women are different than men?
Yeah, that's true.
Are you saying that men and women aren't equal?
Oh my goodness.
Because this whole idea of what's going on, like you saw that clip of like the transgender, you know, and all that stuff where they're running track and the man is outrunning all the women.
Yeah, right. Smoking them,
And the commentator says, well, there shouldn't be any difference, right? Shouldn't be any separation.
Yeah.
Right. Separate is not equal.
Yeah.
Well, you can't have it both ways. She's on the other side talking about how, you know, women are different. They have the power to create life.
Right. Well, Joy, you want to say anything before we move on or?
Yeah, could you just talk about that idea of women having the ability to create life and so men shut your mouths? You don't have any ability to speak to that.
Women, you have lost the title of caregiver if you kill your children.
Mm-hmm.
You don't get to have that anymore.
Yeah.
Just you don't get to be, pardon me, grandfathered in.
Right.
Sorry, feminists. You don't get grandfathered in to the history of amazing women that raised you, that raised the people you love, that gave birth. You don't get to have that if you are fundamentally rejecting it at the same time. If you kill a child, you no longer get a good mom certificate.
Mm-hmm.
For that, you know, I'm certainly not saying anything like collectively about women that have had abortions being capable of being mothers, but if you proudly wear this pin that says I will kill children, you don't get to wave your I can have children flag.
Right.
That's not it's revoked. I'm sorry. Right. Like your woman card, if you're willing to kill a child, if it really is an amazing thing that a woman can do, which I'm also just going to mention that they can't do without a man.
Right.
So there's that also.
Awesome.
Yeah. You just, you don't get to, if you're denying that fundamental part of being a woman, you don't also get to have this like woman power card. Mm-hmm. Just no. Sorry. Women who have killed their children when they're born do not get to say, like, if they tried to like give you a lecture on being a mom, you'd be like, sorry,
right.
I feel like I don't trust your judgment on this.
Right.
So I,
yep.
Just so many problems with yeah. what she said, but.
So yeah, there, it goes on for another 3 minutes or so and just gets more and more infuriating. So I don't even waste your time with it. You don't really want to get angry, but I mean, at the very end, she even throws a little parade and throws confetti in the air and says, God bless abortion. So now all of a sudden she believes in God.
He too. Won't.
So. Right. And that.
Mm.
So, anyways, when we come back, we will change subject a little. We'll be on the same subject, different person.
Different person.
Yeah.
Yep. Changing it, so, shifting gears a little yes. bit.
So, we will be right back. Other ethnicities of the gospel. Yes, I embrace the tetragrammaton, the Shema, the Tanakh, the Torah, and I got some brothers that are fluent in Hebrew. I never met one of you brothers fluent in Hebrew. Yes, Mary was a virgin. Ladies and gentlemen, beauties and beasts, I have some good news for you. But in order for me to tell you the good news, I must share with you the bad. A beard can be a most magnificent thing, but it can also be the downfall of a man. An unmaintained beard prevents a face from shining. An unmaintained beard causes dry, itchy skin. An unmaintained beard is a source of beard drift. You know, like dandruff, but beard drift. An unmaintained beard is sharp and ruthless, like iron bristles. Not good for the lady friend. An unmaintained beard forfeits future growth based on a lack of preparation today. And let's not forget that an unmaintained beard robs your face from smelling amazing. Let not thy beard be thy downfall. Protect your manlyhood. An epic combination of manliness and manhood. If you are hearing this today, there is hope for your beard. Go to ucosbeard.com and enter the code APOLOGIA and you can save some money while you save your face.
What's up, y'all? This is Jeff Durbin with Apologia Radio at apologiaradio.com. Want to talk to you guys about an amazing connection that we have right now with Whitfield Theological Seminary. I want you to run over to whitfield.edu, whitfield.edu, whitefield.edu. I want you to check out the programs they have. They have undergraduate programs at Whitfield College, and they also have Whitfield Theological Seminary for the graduate degree and above and beyond. I think you'll really be impressed with the rigorous nature of the classes, the consistent biblical worldview taught and adhered to. I want you to contact Whitfield Theological Seminary at whitfield.edu. Get a hold of our friend, Dr. Kenneth Talbot, and start your classes today. ApologiaRadio.com.
Saying I don't want to hear the word, I just don't want to hear you because you take some stuff you welcome heard. Back I'm sick of cliches. Pray for me off Ivy's new album. I like the little,
don't just listen,
soul piano, soul bass he's got up in there.
No, he had a good mix of different yeah. instrumentals,
right? So we're going to, as I mentioned, switch people, not topics. So I think this came out July 11th. Yeah, yesterday.
Yeah,
so,
it was yesterday.
There's a rather popular, I didn't really know who he was, but he's fairly popular pastor in Washington, D.C., and he's at a, what was it, a Methodist?
Methodist Episcopal Church, USA.
I don't understand how that works. But, so, Reverend Rob Belshank. You very much.
That was good.
Thanks. It's not really that. It's not his whole name. It's Rob Shank. Yes. You very much. But I like Rob Belshank better. Anyways, he came out with this book called Costly Grace. He was on NRB radio and
NPR.
What did I say? NRB? Yeah. Oh, gosh. Thank you. He wasn't on NRB. He probably has been at some point, but NPR radio. Thank you for correcting that. And so basically the whole point of this book was and I actually talked to Rusty Thomas about this. He was part of Operation
Rescue
back in the day.
Back before OS.
Before OSA,
it was called OS.
Yeah, so Rusty's been on the front lines with him before. He was part of this group of guys that was blocking abortion clinics and stuff so people couldn't get in. So basically he wrote this book saying that he regrets what he's done. And fighting for pro-life and fighting against abortion. Zach spent a lot of time listening to the interview and really digesting stuff. So I'm gonna let Zach open up and just kind of break down some of the stuff he said, but we just wanted to talk about this. So.
Yeah, and I think the interesting thing about Rob is, from what I gleaned in the interview for NPR, is that he's still against abortion, I think. He's just taken a more passive or laxed or liberal. Jesus loves everybody approach to the women that obtain abortions. What he says is that a lot of his tactics and things that he engaged in back in the day with Operation Rescue, he regrets them now. And obviously, End Abortion Now, we have some differences between even our methodology and the ones that OSA would use. But that conversation is something that we've had, and we still love our brothers and sisters that are involved in that. I think many of them, goodness, were involved in this fight before I was even in diapers. So
oh, yeah.
I
30 some years.
Yeah. We owe them a tremendous amount. Yeah. And although we might even disagree on some of the tactics, we still have the same fundamental goal, which is the end of abortion. And so, but Rob talks about his time and how he regrets it now. How he was essentially brought to a place of conviction about his actions and the tactics that he engaged in, and now he maintains a more loving approach based on Jesus's model in the Sermon on the Mount is where he derives a lot of his outlook now. Couple of interesting things, as if you listen to that the interview, it's about an hour long, but I just wrote down a couple things maybe to talk about. The interviewer asks him, where is the place to resolve abortion? Is it at the courts, the Supreme Courts? And he says, no, it's in the social consensus and the conscience of individuals, not politics. So the political realm, essentially, Rob says, has nothing to say to this in terms of legislation and law. It's something that should be done completely with a woman's her own conscience, advised by her physician, pretty much what Roe versus Wade stood on, if you boil it down to that. So he makes that point, which we would agree, the Supreme Court is not the place to fight against abortion. We want to fight against abortion at the state level through interposition and with the gospel, transforming hearts and minds. One thing we are not for, by the way, is the transformation of society from the top down.
Right.
We don't believe that the kingdom of Jesus Christ advances in the world through coercion. We take that directly from Jesus. He scolds Peter and says, people that live by the sword will die by the sword. When Peter defends him, when he goes before Pilate, he tells Pilate, my kingdom is not of this world. If it was, my servants would fight like yours do. Right? So, and that's not to say that the kingdom of God is not in the world and that Jesus didn't bring it. He did on time and as planned, but it does mean it does not advance through violence. It advances through the proclamation, faithful proclamation and witness of the gospel and the Great Commission and application of that, which is teaching the nations to obey Jesus in every area of life. So that's our position. We at End Abortion Now don't condone acts of violence. And as far as I know, neither do our friends who are involved in this. They don't believe that.
Right.
Some have mistaken their rhetoric and the use of scriptural language to say, see, they are really for killing abortionists and making it hard on them and ending their lives and all these acts of terrorism that you've seen against abortionists and abortion clinics. We don't advocate for that, and I'm pretty sure that they don't either.
Well, he even says part of the reason he's changed his tune a bit is because he's had people blame him for the deaths of these abortionists, and you know, he, which is ridiculous, and you know, one, to accuse him of that, but two, carry the weight of that, you know, that's ridiculous. That's not on him. But anyways, continue.
Yeah, absolutely. And he says furthermore, He's, you know, he's continually asked questions about his time, and as he's reflecting on it, one of the things that really stuck out to me about what he said was, the spokesperson for Operation Rescue at the time was speaking, and on a previous radio program that they were planning to kind of draw clips from that they could talk about, and one of the things that the man at the time was suggesting, I think his name was Randall, was that God's judgment falls on nations that commit this sin in various ways, whether it's natural disasters, whether it's terrorism, which is completely scriptural, by the way, to believe in that very thing. But the interviewer and Rob seem to disagree with that pretty vehemently. And he says at the 24-minute mark, it's audacious to believe that we spoke for God, that we had a voice in this, in knowing what God's will was. And he tries to use scripture to come against this idea, which I'm not sure what he was trying to apply with this scripture, but it's a common scripture that's used by those that are more liberal leaning to come against the idea of Christians fighting against abortion, going to the clinics, preaching the gospel, offering help, and engaging in these kinds of tactics. He quotes a very famous verse, Micah chapter 6, verse 6, and we all know it. We see it on bumper stickers all around here in Arizona all the time. It is, do justice, love mercy, and walk humbly before your God. And he uses that to advance this narrative of a more gentler and more liberal Christianity that values the feelings of the woman so much so that you no longer engage in this type of ministry to them. And that, and I just want to say really quickly, that verse is so often taken out of context, I don't even think we realize where it comes from, right? I mean, you just hear it all the time.
Yeah.
And one thing that you see in Micah, where it's quoted, is God's bringing his judgment against the nation of Israel, which is, again, a biblical concept, because Israel has violated their covenant with the Lord. And so God is bringing his prophets who speak prophetically and call the people to observe the covenant once again back into relationship and restoration with him. So they were not doing that. They were not upholding the standards of the covenant. They were offering worship. They were offering rituals. They were offering all of these things that God welcomes. But in this case, they were neglecting weightier matters of justice. They were not taking care of the oppressed in their society.
Right, exactly.
And so God denounced them in the same way that Jesus denounced the Pharisees, who were worshiping him outwardly, but inwardly their hearts were far from him. And they were told by Jesus, as a quotation from Hosea, go and learn what this means. I desire mercy, not sacrifice, and knowledge of God rather than burnt offerings. So that's the context of the same context of this verse in Micah, is God requires more than just ceremony.
Right.
He requires action.
Right.
He requires loving your neighbor. He requires standing up for the oppressed and saying something for those that can't say anything for themselves, which is very biblical, by the way.
How about rescuing those being led to the slaughter?
That's right. Proverbs chapter 24, 11, the charter verse for end abortion now, I would think, here, that we always quote. So this verse cannot be used to say, well, don't offend. Jesus loves you no matter what your choice is. It is actually a verse used to denounce the people of God for neglecting to do the very thing that Mr. Shank condemns. So I just think it's important to point that out. But very interesting discussion and conversation. I think it demonstrates, because he goes on to say that he is against gun control, and he says that if you are pro-life, you can't be for the use of guns. You have to be anti-gun, which we would reject that.
So he's not anti-gun control, he's for gun control.
Oh, that's right.
Yeah.
Yeah. So,
yeah, now, it's just a silly.
Yeah, and it's interesting, you know, if you read the article that he's featured in on that, he says two things, two principles form his opinion of that. He says, number one, the sinfulness of man and the preservation of life, which are the exact two reasons why we're pro-life.
Right, and pro-gun.
And pro-gun, because we realize the sinfulness of man. And by the way, so did our founding fathers that founded this nation. That's why they developed the Constitution the way that they did, to make sure that no one branch of government had more power than any other. And the Second Amendment, the right to bear arms, gives us the right of an organized militia to defend ourselves, which is scriptural, by the way, self-defense, and especially defend ourselves from tyranny in the hands of government that may seek to overthrow us and to strip us of our ability to protect ourselves. So, yes, I can be for the use of firearms and pro-life because I stand on the principles of the preservation of life and the sinfulness of man.
Yeah, it's both are the fundamental right to life, right? Just as the unborn child deserves to be protected, their life protected, so does my 7-year-old,
yes,
or my wife, or myself. You know, I also have the same right to protect myself and their lives. It's the same fundamental right we're fighting for.
That's right.
And one thing I was going to mention too, you know, he talks a lot about, you know, especially abortion not being a political thing.
Oh yeah.
So what you see here is him separating, making a dichotomy between morality and politics, which
perfect. We should end on that.
Yeah.
That's
which
it.
Obviously, politics is just legislated morality.
That's
right?
Exactly right.
And so, for him to say that it doesn't have a place in politics, it's not for the government to decide. When you were talking about that earlier, I was like, man, so basically, if he's going to go with that, then the government has no right to punish murder outside of the womb.
Mm.
Right? Because it's still murder. And he would agree it's murder.
If you take it to that conclusion.
Yeah. He would agree that abortion is murder. But if the government, if that's up to the personal, or if that's up to a person to make that decision, then the same should go for murder outside of the womb. And I know he would not agree with that. You know, it's just, again, just a contradiction in his position.
That's where I was headed, was he says earlier on in the interview that this decision, abortion, should be determined within the conscience, individual, not politics, right? But then he turns around at the end of the interview and talks about his experience handing out 10 commandment plaques in congressional offices, because he spends a lot of time in Washington and how he used to do that, but he doesn't anymore. And he says, when asked by the interviewer, well, if you could go back, would you remove those 10 commandment plaques? Because obviously you don't want your religion to affect your political view, essentially is what she asks, right? As if that was possible to begin with. And he says, if you want to display the 10 commandments in private, that's okay. But in public, it's not. So you see, separation of church and state, according to Mr. Shank's position, doesn't work both ways.
Yeah.
Right? So funny, though, separation of church and state actually does not have anything to do with the separation of God from state and his right. word being brought on individual consciences of people that have disobeyed his law, which is precisely where that needs to be brought, is on the individual consciences, and Christians need to speak to their magistrates right. and those in positions of authority to obey the law of God, because as Luke pointed out, political issues are moral issues. Mm-hmm. They are legislated morality. So the question is, by what standard
right.
shall we legislate morality? It's not a question of whether or not it's going to happen. It's which morality will be legislated. That's the question.
Right.
Which morality? Whose morality?
Right.
right? I love how Joe Boot says this. He says, it's a great quote. He was asked, are you trying to Christianize this nation? Right, they live in Canada. And he says, well, I'm certainly not trying to Islamicize it. I'm certainly not trying to secularize it.
Yeah.
Right? So yeah. It's this idea, this blanket idea of, well, if we remove God from that, we just have this neutral sphere that no one will step into.
Mm-hmm.
But that's not true. Mm-hmm. It's not a vacuum. Something is going to replace God and his word and his law.
Right.
And it's going to be the standard by which those people live
right.
and move and breathe and say what and what should not happen in that society.
Yeah, I think we talked about this a little bit the last show, because I was getting ready to teach on this very subject, which brings up a good opportunity to advertise for All Access, because right now we've been going through by the standard by Greg Bahnsen that answers these questions in a very detailed way. So we've been putting that up on All Access. We've been going through that for a couple months now. So check that out. But Bahnsen says it's in the chapter on Romans 13. You know, he basically says, you know, if it's not God's law, it's going to be man's law.
Mm.
You know, if it's not an objective standard according to Scripture, it's going to be a subjective man based standard. And you know, he says it's either God or tyranny. It's either, I think he says it's either life for a society or death for a society.
Like, right.
And I love that. And he's so right about that. There's no, if God's law and if God's morality is not the standard by which you live by which you operate by which your laws are made, it will eventually end in death for your society and your culture.
Yeah. And that's partly what we're seeing.
Yeah.
Today is this culture of death advances on. And obviously we have a victorious view of the future. We believe in the power of the gospel for salvation, the advancement of the kingdom of God. But that's what we've seen is taking place as our nation abandons God, abandons his law. And you said it perfectly. If you were to abandon the 10 commandments of God, you will embrace the 10,000 commandments of men.
Mm.
That's the truth.
Yeah.
Because you take an issue like he was talking about, firearm control. Where is the most tyranny committed in the United States? Well, it's where gun zones are.
Yeah.
Gun-free zones are.
Yeah.
So you take an issue like this and you stand on the principles of scripture that say that we need to protect life, that man is inherently sinful. We do believe in original sin. And so we stand on that principle. But what we don't do is we don't pass legislation that disarms citizens and leaves them open and prey to the evildoer.
Right.
That's a principle of God's law, is that the magistrate is to punish evil, not the righteous.
Yep.
And when you don't act in accordance with God's law, the righteous suffer.
Mm.
That's the point.
So you in Romans 13, bro?
Right. So, yes, it's twofold, right? So Romans 13, submit to your governing authorities. We believe that.
Yeah.
Yes and amen. But we do that because the governing authorities are to be the deacons of God.
Exactly.
They're the ministers meant to punish evildoers, to punish those that prey on the innocent.
Mm.
And that is the role, and we are to submit to them to the degree that they are submitted to God.
Amen.
And where their conduct conflicts or contravenes with the law of God, we do not follow them into their sin.
Amen.
And to their rebellion against God. That's what we don't do.
Right. Right.
So, yeah.
Man, good discussion. Well, we're wrapping up this show here. We'll be back next week. I forgot to mention that we were in, Zach and I were actually in Kauai last week with Pastor Jeff. And
such a good time.
Had
a great trip.
Yeah. Had a great trip. Had a lot of really great evangelism opportunities on the street. And we got a lot of content coming. So be watching for that. Some really, really great stuff. Please be praying for our church plant in Kauai. It's really awesome to see how God's using them and getting them into the community and continuing to pray for them. And if you're able to, please support them. You can go to apologiakauai.com and donate there. And but when Jeff gets back next week, we'll talk more about that. I wanted to wait for him to get back. Got a lot of cool stories and stuff from that. So thanks again to all of our All Access subscribers. You are the best. We love you. We appreciate you. And if you are a subscriber, again, be watching for Ivy's new album to be coming through at some point. We'll work on that for you.
Yeah.
So
see you guys. Thanks for listening.
Peace out. We're going to end with some Ivy here.
Glorified bodies.